Welcome to SolidWorks Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SolidWorks engineering and the web. This is episode 468 for February 16, 2014. February Tech News. Welcome everyone to SolidWorks Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, today we're going to get into the tech news. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happened in the last 4 weeks. Traditionally, this is kind of what the synopsis of it is we usually launch around the middle of the month. We talk about the previous 4 weeks and what's kind of happened in the SolidWorks world, not necessarily the conference, but just in our industry. I usually touch a little bit on the tech alerts, service packs, things like that. Also, the support monthly news that comes out of the SolidWorks tech support group. And then we also just do a little kind of synopsis at the end on some industry tech news. Being kind of a technology nerd, I have a lot of things that I'm always paying attention to. I read many blogs and usually mark things throughout the month and then go back and kind of look at the ones that kind of caught my eye. But we'll jump in. We'll talk a little bit about the blog. There was a few things in the SolidWorks blog, the main blog. It's been pretty dead since SolidWorks World, but there was a couple of posts that I think I just want to mention are worth reading, mainly because there were some kind of highlights from SolidWorks World. One of them is about one of the speakers. But then we'll talk a little bit about the tech blog, some good posts that are up there, and then go through the tech alerts and FAQ. So let's jump in and start out with the SolidWorks blog. Now, for the last couple of months, I've been talking about the fact that there are kind of two blogs to SolidWorks. There's the main kind of company blog, and then there's now a tech blog. I spend most of my time in the tech blog, but there was a couple of things I thought were worth mentioning. On January 29th, this was something that they actually talked about on the main stage, is that SolidWorks customer certifications hit 100,000. That's pretty significant. That's a lot of certifications. And I just thought it was kind of an interesting mile marker. And the other one that I thought is worth talking about is this speaker, Hugh Herr. He was he was in the general session on day one at SolidWorks World. One of the most jaw-dropping, impressive speakers they've had over the years, and they've had some pretty big headliners. This year, they didn't really have a lot of big headliners, but they brought in some very interesting speakers, and this was one of them. And Hugh Herr was actually a double amputee, which he didn't really reveal to the crowd right away, but he builds these kind of, I would say, more bionic type of prostheses that are really quite interesting. So instead of taking it and making just as good as someone who has, their natural limbs, make them better than that. And the conversation with him was on January 29th. It's on the main SolidWorks blog at blogs.solidworks.com. And they ask him a couple of questions and kind of talk to him. And it really is an interesting read. They talk a little bit about what your job's like. He actually used to be a mountain climber, and he was talking about some of the benefits of being a double amputee and how he can be taller or shorter depending on who he's dating. it was just a very interesting post, but he refers to his position in life as he's in the transportation business, and I just thought it was a very, very interesting science, and also just an interesting different look at a common problem that exists in our world. And so I definitely recommend reading it. It's pretty inspiring to read, and I think there's a lot of good points in there. Now, moving over to the tech blog, there definitely were a few posts. I'll kind of talk about a few of them here. A lot of recap posts. So again, if you want to get more of a summary of what happened at SolidWorks World, this is a good place to go. Now, the tech blog is usually pretty active, post every day or so. And the ones that really caught my eye was the first one was SolidWorks Tech Tip, A Change in Perspective, which talks a little just about the SolidWorks ability to go in and change your orientations. And they just kind of walk you through it. And some of the stuff you may know, some of it you may not, but it's a good refresher post. I also like the Flipping Normal, A Fresh Perspective to SolidWorks Sketches and Mates. This was actually done by Cap Inc. And again, another real good post as well. They also had another one in here for EPDM, Simplifying Workflows Using Workflow Links. This is something that obviously is more near and dear to me because I do a lot of implementations. And this is something that when I go to places that do not have maybe an implementation that was done by us, or even just by somebody who just tried to wing it, that's the first thing you notice is there's usually one huge workflow and there's tons of stuff going on. Now, that's functional, but it makes it incredibly more difficult to troubleshoot. There's always so much going on, and you know, it's just something that makes it a little bit cleaner when you can have simple handoffs and, you know, breaking down those procedures into their own workflows. And I think it really lends itself to a much more organized and clean way of setting things up. It does come with obviously some prep. You have to make sure that you've got your data, you know, properly categorized and moving through the workflows properly and landing in proper workflows. But there are a lot of gotchas that come with it, but I do believe that it is a good read, especially if you've maybe had an enterprise for a while and you're thinking of maybe expanding some of the capabilities. This is definitely a good read to check out. And the last post that I think is a good one as well was posted on February 14th, which is today I'm recording, and it's lock rotation option with concentric mates. This is something that was new in 2014 and is a good overview of that capability as well. So let's take a look at the tech alerts for February. Well, the tech alerts are actually pretty minimal. Service Pack 2 is really the only big deal that has been alerted. This is both for SolidWorks and Enterprise PDM. Service Pack 2 is available for download. As I always mention, you know, when you're thinking about downloading service packs, do make sure that you go to the SolidWorks site. You click on the support area and you go into the administration guides, and you usually will find the release notes. The release notes is a working document. I've said this for years, but I always like to remind people, especially if you're responsible for doing upgrades, it's always a good idea to see what exactly those changes are and to see exactly what the impact may be to you and your users. So if you open that document up, again, most of it is going to be the same if you've been checking it out since SP0. You know, so a lot of the end-of-life announcements, they usually give you a little heads-up on 32-bit OS. You know, this is obviously the last release. In 2015, SolidWorks will not install on that if you have a 32-bit OS. They talk a little bit about license network license server users. They also talk about server dongle users. You know, so there's a lot of things that they kind of give you a heads up on. But, you know, through the installation and system requirements and agreements and tech alerts and stuff like that, there's usually an area at the very bottom talking about Service Pack specific things. Service Pack 2 for 2014 optimizes spacing for touch. Now, touch is not something I think that a ton of you probably have, but we do have systems even in our office that are Windows 8.1, and they're touch enabled. You know, they're very, very good at in high resolution, but touch is a big piece. The option to enlarge the user interface elements such as menus, buttons, and trees for easier touch interaction has changed. So if you have a touch-enabled laptop now, you can click Tools Customize, and on the Toolbars tab under Options, you can select and clear the optimized spacing for touch. This is actually pretty cool. We've seen this firsthand. We actually just I just ordered a machine for one of our engineers, the new 3800 from Dell. It's you know, it's a super compact, like 15-inch laptop, super thin like a MacBook Pro Retina, has the same high-resolution screen, but it's touch. And we actually saw this new feature firsthand. So again, if you have a touchscreen laptop, definitely worthwhile to get Service Pack 2, you know, because that's obviously focusing much more on that type of interaction. Now, as far as the other tech alerts, you know, really is about the monthly FAQ. Now, they do post this in the tech blog. So if you do go to blogs.solidworks.com/tech, you'll see an entry for February 7th. And the SolidWorks Support Monthly News, February 2014. This is done by Julian. He's out of the tech support group, he's been there a long time. And he writes a little bit about a few different things. The layout of this newsletter has pretty much been consistent now for the last four or five times. He usually has a spotlight on features, talking about some functionality in SolidWorks, then does a couple other things that he'll touch on, and then he usually talks a little bit about the Service Pack news, and then also touches on some of the things from the knowledge base. And so in this release, he has spotlight on features linked to thickness. And he talks a little bit about this new, you know, the checkbox that's been in a long time, the link to thickness checkbox for doing a lot of tools. And it's just kind of an interesting thing because he says, if you've ever applied a cut extrude and checked the link to thickness, but the cut does not go all the way through the body, this is actually means link to part thickness. So, you know, if you're applying a cut extrude to a body, the condition for the link to thickness might not work because the sheet metal thickness may not be the same as, you know, as the part's thickness. So it's kind of an interesting approach if you do have, you know, a situation that pops up like this. But I remember in the very early days, and I believe that this doesn't work anymore, but you could actually add a link to thickness checkbox to pretty much anything. So obviously for sheet metal, it's always there. But if you've ever added, let's say you could add a value like a global variable, and you could call the variable thickness. And if you did that to any part, you would have this link to thickness checkbox. It was just kind of like a random feature slash bug that had been in the product a long time. And I want to say I tried it in 2013 or something like that, and it stopped working. But this is an interesting thing that does happen. If you are doing, especially with the multi-body sheet metal functionality, you could have a part in there as well that could have a different thickness than the sheet metal. And it's obviously linked to the sheet metal functionality. Another one he talks about in here on feature kind of feature spotlight is the explanation of the contains tab behavior in EPDM for suppressed SOLIDWORKS references. And for those of you that use EPDM, this is a really good read because it talks a little bit about how it handles this issue. The contains tab of SOLIDWORKS Enterprise PDM should contain the same information that is seen in the SOLIDWORKS feature manager tree. Thus, if a part reference is suppressed in a specific configuration of the assembly, then the contains tab should reflect this and not list the reference in the specified assembly. So they talk a little bit about some of the things that occurs, and they have some nice highlights and things like that, and lots of screenshots. So if you've ever seen this before, or you're kind of wondering how Enterprise handles this, this is a great area to read inside of the news. As far as Service Pack news, like we mentioned, it has been released. They talk a little bit about that that new usability improvements. There's a couple other ones that they list out, and they list out three products for simulation, SOLIDWORKS, and for flow simulation. And so there's a few things in here for SOLIDWORKS simulation for Service Pack news. It says from the list heat power and list result forces property manager, a new button lets you export the content of the summary, force, and connection force tables in text or CSV files. In design studies, you can now use units other than Newton millimeter. Also, contact set icons are shown in parts tree underneath the solid surface beam body along with the fixtures and load icons. So some good focus on enhancements with the service pack in SOLIDWORKS simulation. And here's one that I know a lot of you will appreciate in SOLIDWORKS. You can now resize the layers dialog box. I actually had somebody come up in one of my rollouts and ask me about how come they couldn't do that. So that has been fixed. And then SOLIDWORKS flow simulation got a couple as well. Import volume sources from model and import printed circuit boards from model are now available. Two options in flow simulation tree facilitating setting up the computational fluid dynamics CFD analysis for cooling simulation of electronic components. And it talks a little bit about how you do that. Now, the last section of this is noteworthy solutions from the SOLIDWORKS knowledge base. Again, I really like the detail here because he always puts a little icon next to it showing what product it is. So the first one here is for SOLIDWORKS, why the error message, this version of SOLIDWORKS has not been commissioned properly. Please contact your supplier, is displayed when starting SOLIDWORKS. If that's ever happened to you, there's a new knowledge base article for that under solution ID S-065173. The next one is also SOLIDWORKS. Why does the error SWVBA server stop working appear when launching SOLIDWORKS? Again, if this has happened to you, it's in the knowledge base now under S-065162. For EPDM, what can cause eDrawings preview in the EPDM 2014 SP0 and SP1 to crash or show unhandled parsing exception when previewing drawings containing sketch pictures? Sketch Picture has always been kind of a gotcha in EPDM, especially for things like tasks and functions like that. But again, if you have this issue or have seen this issue, the explanation and solution is under solution ID S-065180. Another one for EPDM is Workgroup PDM 2013 supported on Windows Server 2012? And the answer is no. So I know many of you, probably this does not affect. Most of your IT departments probably are running 03 or 08. Obviously, 03 is going to be shelved very soon. Microsoft has dropped support for that. But 2012, I would say the uptake is pretty low unless you've recently got a pretty new server. So if you are using Workgroup, keep that in mind. And also, the last one is for simulation. I cannot access Materiality Online Material Library, which is this new materials web portal, from the materials dialog box in SOLIDWORKS Simulation. I get to a page where I am asked to log in. What can I do? It's typically related to the default web browser or some of its settings, and there is a procedure to get some troubleshooting at S-064894. So like I said, pretty chocked full, lots of good content. So check it out on the tech blog for the monthly news from support. Now this last segment is typically around industry news, industry tech news, a lot of the things that I usually pay attention to: Google, Microsoft, Apple, the cloud, the maker movement, you know, cool technology in general. And Google has pretty much owned the news cycle in 2014. You know, everything from the big announcements with all the acquisitions of these robotic companies to a lot of things that we'll talk about this month. But they have another moonshot project, another project that's that they're trying to focus on making the world a better place. And this one is introducing their smart contact lens project. And this is around trying to help and monitor issues with glucose levels for people that have diabetes. And this smart contact lens is essentially built to measure glucose levels in tears by using wireless chip technology and a miniaturized glucose sensor that is basically embedded between two layers of a soft contact lens. And they're testing prototypes and can, you know, generate these reports that basically measure every minute. And so there's a lot of cool things that they're working with. Obviously, this is a big FDA concern, so they're obviously in talks with them. But I just thought it was kind of an interesting technology. They got a good picture on the official Google blog, and I got links in the show notes as well. But pretty cool stuff. Now, in the same kind of mode of another Google technology that's being updated, they recently did some updates to the types of applications that you can build for Drive. I pay attention to a lot of the developer tools and updates because I do build quite a bit of Google tools. And I marked this as kind of something interesting because I'm always paying attention to the Drive API and wondering what's going to happen. And a few days later, Oleg Shilovitsky, who's at the daily PLM think tank, he wrote up a post that definitely caught my eye. It's called Cloud CAD and PDM Will Become Easier for Android and Google Drive. And he talks a little bit about this announcement and some of the things that have changed to really bring some simplicity to utilizing Drive for versions and, you know, kind of your typical, for most of you, Dropbox type of functionality where, you know, it's saving versions in the background. You have this sync that happens, kind of built in or baked into the service. And I thought it was a really good read. You can check it out. Again, I got links in the show notes to the post, but it's something that I think is very evident, is trying to build in very basic PDM type functionality. And again, I've talked about this in a parallel as a developer using things like Git and Subversion. I'm a big Git user, and essentially that's the way that I keep track of versions of my code. I can come up with an idea, I can try and add a feature, and if I don't like it, I can simply revert back to where I was and move forward. And having this ability to have a very three-dimensional way of breaking out from my code base and doing ideas, I don't worry about making mistakes. I make a change, and then I can ditch it or move forward. And that's really what a lot of this, these tools, these platforms, you know, we think of Google Drive and Dropbox as places that we sync our files, but in the background, they're really trying to become platforms, and platforms that can be taken advantage of, not just for flat files, but also for CAD data. So it's something that we're going to see a lot of, and again, I thought it was a really interesting post. Believe it or not, for those of you that have ever used a Mac or used a Mac back in the day, the Mac has turned 30. I remember the first Mac I ever had. Then I turned away from the Mac for many years and didn't go back until 2006. And I've been a fan of Apple hardware ever since. But it's just kind of an interesting kind of timeline. The Verge did a real good post of a visual history, and you click through all the pictures of the different models and makes of Macs over the last 30 years, and it just gives you some perspective of where we came from. Whether you're an Apple fan or not, there was a lot to be said about Apple pushing a lot of the industry forward. And again, it's a, you know, you can like them or hate them, but they definitely influenced the personal PC. And it is something that's really kind of cool to watch, because it's pretty much been in my timeline ever since I was a kid to now. And it was kind of cool clicking through and remembering either commercials or whatever of how the computer actually changed over the years. Another interesting Google tidbit, and I have to apologize because there's a lot of them. Google actually acquired Motorola. This was something that happened 19 months ago, almost 2 years ago, and they kept it, and a lot of people thought that was going to be kind of the official Google, you know, hardware handset for Android. Obviously, the Moto X shipped, and people were kind of thinking maybe this is, you know, kind of the blessed phone, even though they have the Nexus line. And announced a couple of weeks ago is that Google is selling off Motorola to Lenovo for about $3 billion. I believe they acquired it for about 12, but really a big part of that acquisition was patents. Motorola had a lot of patents, and Google is not selling the patents with the company. A few of them, but not the big ones that they wanted. So, you know, kind of an interesting movement there. But I think the ultimate side of it is that Google really didn't want to make any enemies with Samsung and a lot of the other partners out there making hardware. So this is a move for them to kind of make them neutral ground again. Now, for those of you that have adopted Windows 8 or 8.1, I'm a big fan of 8.1. I think Windows 8.1 is probably the best version of Windows I've used. I do like the changes. I am a fan of the start screen. I hate the start button. I've always hated the start menu. I think it's garbage. I've been a big fan of using search since it came out in Vista. And even before that, I used to use desktop search in XP. And I like being able to launch things that way. I really like the multitasking functionality of Windows 8 and 8.1. And this is, I think, a big deal. But what's supposed to happen, and we've seen some retraction in 8.1, is that in Windows 8, there was no button. There was no button at all. You had to actually hover your mouse down at the corner before the button would pop up. Windows 8.1, obviously, they brought that where it's always up, so you always see it. And they also gave the ability for you to set it up to skip the start screen, so you could boot right to the desktop. Those are really kind of the main things that they added. There is an update coming, and in Microsoft fashion has a very slick name called Windows 8.1 Update 1. And it looks like that's going to actually hit the wire April 1st. According to ZDNet and Mary Jo Foley, who's pretty much the source between her and Paul Thurrott. I'm a big fan of Windows Weekly. So since you're a podcast listener, you know that most podcasters are big podcast listeners. I'm an avid fan of Windows Weekly. It's a great show. It has both of them on it, and very, very good insight. But usually that when I get news from either of those two, it's usually pretty correct. So we should have an update coming. It looks like they're probably going to make some regressions on it. They've talked about even possibly bringing back the start screen or start menu, which I really hope they don't. But as long as they have the ability to turn it off, I'm fine with that. So keep your eye posted if you are using 8.1 for update 1. And The last couple things are some random Google news again, because, like I said, they just pretty much dominated the news cycle. They launched the Chromebox Meetings. Now, Chromebox was essentially like a Chromebook, which is a laptop or a piece of hardware that just runs the Chrome browser. But the Chromebox was essentially kind of like a Mac Mini. It was like an all-in-one box, no monitor, no keyboard, no mouse. And essentially what you would do is you would plug it into a keyboard and mouse and you would just use it. That functionality now has been kind of moved forward to really get into the enterprise area for meetings. So the Chromebox Meetings essentially comes with a Chromebox, which is what you would expect, but it has some special sauce in there. It also comes with a controller and a video, like a webcam. But it's like a high-res webcam. And there are some specific features that looks like it's going to be a little bit more capable than just using Hangouts. So it's essentially a web-based meeting tool. It costs $1,000. It comes with some services. I believe it's going to have like a 200-something-a-year service fee. But, I mean, if you're using something like GoToMeeting, which is a capable tool, you know, you're paying probably $50 a month. So the cost of it is really not that bad considering the hardware that you get and then also the service functionality. And you can do meetings with anybody. They don't have to have, Hangouts specifically. I think you can actually send links to anybody. But whatever, it seems to be kind of an approach for them to get into enterprise. They are doing some interaction with VMware as well. So you can see that, you know, Google's really trying to push into the enterprise market. And Chrome is a super capable, functional browser. I think for many people, it's become their default browser. Chrome really has moved the web forward, and there's a lot of cool things. In fact, when I was at SolidWorks World, Google had launched a Chrome experiment called Legos. And if you go to buildwithchrome.com, you basically have a virtual space that you can build with Legos. And you have all the Lego sizes and shapes and doors and windows. And you can basically build Legos in your browser. Pretty cool. It works on tablets too. I actually was using it on my Pixel, which is obviously a touchscreen Chromebook. And it's a pretty neat experiment. But there's, like I said, there's a lot of things that are coming out of Google. I think the big thing right now that's really impressing me is how they're moving the web forward. And the web is the platform. The future is the web platform. Granted, we may have locally installed applications on our phone, but the back end of the application is always going to be the web. And so there's some really interesting things coming out in technology in general, but I do apologize for all of the Google stories, but like I said, if you do any searches around what's really kind of clicking in technology, they're definitely in many markets and a lot of things happening right now. So that's the tech news for February. Well, I got to say, I'm super excited to be done with SolidWorks World. It was a busy couple of weeks up to SolidWorks World. Obviously, SolidWorks World is fairly exhausting. A lot of walking, a lot of sessions, and I was just glad to get back and kind of do a summary of the tech news since we had talked last. But I'm going to start going into a series I'm going to start next week on a number of different things for more application-specific functions with SolidWorks. So stay tuned, and I'll talk to you next week. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd. Don't forget to follow The Herd on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.ddicad.com. Music is provided by 21 Against by the means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.